So with basketball season obviously over, McMurphy decided fishing was the thing. He requested another pass after telling the doctor he had some friends at the Siuslaw Bay at Florence who would like to take 8 or 9 of the patients out deep-sea fishing if it was okay with the staff, and he wrote on the request list out in the hall that this time he would be accompanied by 2 sweet old aunts from a little place outside of Oregon City. In the meeting, his pass was granted for the next weekend. When the nurse finished officially noting his pass in her roll book, she reached into her wicker bag beside her feet and drew out a clipping that she had taken from the paper that morning and read out loud that although fishing off the coast of Oregon was having a peak year, the salmon were running quite late in the season and the sea was rough and dangerous, and she would suggest the men give that some thought. "Good idea," McMurphy said. He closed his eyes and sucked a deep breath through his teeth. "Yes, sir. The salt smell of the pounding sea, the crack of the bow against the waves. Brave the elements, where men are men and boats are boats. Miss Ratchet, you've talked me into it. I'll call and rent that boat this very night. Shall I sign you on?" Instead of answering, she walked to the bulletin board and pinned up the clipping. The next day, he started signing up the guys that wanted to go and that had $10 to chip in on boat rent, and the nurse started steadily bringing in clippings from the newspapers that told about wrecked boats and sudden storms on the coast. McMurphy poo-pooed her and her clippings, saying that his 2 aunts had spent most of their lives bouncing around the waves in one port or another with this sailor or that, and they both guaranteed the trip was safe as pie, safe as pudding, not a thing to worry about. But the nurse still knew her patients. The clippings scared them more than McMurphy'd figured. He'd figured there would be a rush to sign up, but he had to talk and wheedle to get the guys he did. The day before the trip, he still needed a couple more before he could pay for the boat. "I didn't have the money, but I kept getting this notion that I wanted to sign the list. And the more he talked about fishing for Chinook salmon, the more I wanted to go. I knew it was a fool thing to want. If I signed up, it'd be the same as coming right out and telling everybody I wasn't deaf. If I'd been hearing all this talk about boats and fishing, it'd show I'd been hearing everything else that had been said in confidence around me for the past 10 years. And if the big nurse found out about that, that I'd heard all the scheming and treachery that had gone on when she didn't think anybody was listening, she'd hunt me down with an electric saw, fix me where she knew I was deaf and dumb. Bad as I wanted to go, it still made me smile a little to think about it. I had to keep on acting deaf if I wanted to hear it all. I lay in bed the night before the fishing trip and thought it over, about my being deaf, about the years of not letting on I heard what was said, and I wondered if I could ever act any other way again. But I remembered one thing. It wasn't me that started acting deaf. It was people that first started acting like I was too dumb to hear or see or say anything at all.